have stinky enough garbage neighbor that they came for, but bears like to be able to hide behind something, so if you're in a real open area, they're much less likely. I mean,
oh.
I mean, bears just don't come walk in. We had a moose once 2 years ago. I couldn't believe it.
Where?
Do you know, there's no water here, but if you, I think the area is a town that have trees.
Do you have bears? That's why I said.
Yeah.
That's one of the advantages of either bokashi or worms, especially if what you're really focusing, concentrating on doing, is kitchen waste, because you can do it inside your home. I haven't had bears attack my compost, but once I left the garage door open accidentally and the bear came in and reared the freezer. And I'll tell you what, bears are stinky. I'm probably aware of that. But we thought we cleaned everything up really good, so here's the refrigerator that he raided. Clean everything. Took all of this.
Yeah, I thought it was like
2 weeks later, something still smells. Well, right behind the refrigerator was the dryer, the clothes dryer, and I'm sure he bumped up against it because you can see the grease on the front of the clothes dryer. So we had to wash even more stuff. So I'm very careful now with clothes on that garage door. So backyard bin composting. What? Did you have a question? Yeah, bears are a big problem for that. So what kind of bins do the people have that they got? What did you do?
4x8, but it's divided into double chambers, and it actually doesn't have a bottom to it.
Okay.
We have a grate that's over it, but
sure.
I don't do worms. And I use, I'm a little bit more discriminant about what I put in.
Science experiments don't work on
them. Yeah, they do, but just certain things. Like, I don't use eggshells. I have a friend who owns a farm here, and she composts her alpaca poop and makes this really amazing compost that they sell.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of followed the lead on that.
Uh-huh. So eggshells, you don't like them for some reason?
I don't use eggshells.
Yeah, right. Okay.
We have a double chamber, and it's thermal. It's insulated, which is nice.
So are these made out of wood, or you buy a plastic?
Ours is metal.
Ours
is metal, and it's on a wheel, so you can turn it.
Yeah.
And it's in a fenced yard, and we've never had issues with smell or animals.
Okay. And you get good product out of that?
Outstanding.
Wonderful. I have somebody who has a bin that turns that they would like to find a new home for.
Is she in that? Is that Casey?
Okay, sure.
Is her name Casey?
No.
Okay, because we're buying one this afternoon, because we need a second one. I mean, ours is full, and we need a second one. I would use the community composting if it comes to be, because we're running out of space.
Yeah, that's right. It's good. So some of these get colored on the front, some of them didn't. If you'd like my business card, take one and pass it around. Part of this program that I attended, the big deal was to train the trainer. They taught a whole bunch of us, and we had to do 40 hours of community service afterwards and going to other places. And I still teach people composting. I met Peggy last year. She's like, oh, something's composting. It's like, my ears went up. It's like, oh, composting. This is great. Kind of help you out. And if you have a compost bin, but you've got a problem. And so what about the bears for years?
We're on the fringe of, we're in the southwest corner of BV, so we're right along an open space. And we also are on the path of a lot of irrigation ditches.
Mm-hmm.
So the bears, before they go into hibernation, they follow the irrigation ditches. There are certain families that establish themselves in the neighborhood. So what we've done is we have slats, but the door that's our lid is extremely heavy.
Okay.
Like I can barely
open it.
It's a solid oak door.
Yeah.
And so for some reason, the bear have avoided, I mean, they haven't been able to break into the compost bin, but they've done other stuff. Like we keep our recycles in an outdoor container. container, which during bear season we live inside. We move all of our trash cans into a shed. I mean, we take some precautions when they're active, when we know that they're active. We never put our trash out the night before.
Yes.
Because you can see, you can look down the street, and you can see like everybody's trash can that they put out is like toppled over.
Right.
So I feel like on some level we've been pretty successful in not having our compost been attacked by bears, but there are other things that they like.
Ruthanne, in your yard though, where your compost is it fenced?
Oh yeah.
The yard is bear proof.
No, our yard is not.
They're not high enough
fences.
No,
yard is bear
protected. No. I mean,
I worked at Pleasant Avenue Nursery.
I know.
We had an eight foot fence around the entire nursery, and we still have bear.
We're so lucky.
Going over it. So I'm not sure how you escape, but.
It's the cat. They're afraid of the cat.
That's it.
So, Ruthanne, is yours wood or metal, you said, on the
it's
sides?
It's wood, and then there's wood slats. We actually just used old molding. Will built it, and he had. Just left a little bit of air, you know, little gaps so that there was some air, you know, some ventilation in it. And then we just manually turn it because it's so large that. And then we alternate from bin to bin. So we use, you know, basically by the time that we're ready to plant, one side of the bin is ready to go. And then we start the cycle on the other side.
Yeah.
So that we alternate, we just go back and forth with size. It's very primitive.
Are they made of pallets to begin with?
No.
Because some people do pallets.
I love pallets.
That's what I do. Yeah.
I wonder, so what else is it that the bears bother?
They love the trash. They love the apple tree. We've been accused of feeding deer and bear. Which is illegal in the town limits here.
I understand it's illegal in the town
limits. I know, but it's we have two very mature apple trees.
It's illegal.
Oh, yeah.
So they love to climb up. So that's more of the natural, progression of like, this is just what's going to happen.
Did you have a bigger problem with the compost that you solved? Or you always had a heavy win on your compost?
We've had various compost bins, depending on like over 20 some years we've changed.
Yeah, I'm more looking for solutions.
This is the best. This is the best bin that we've had so far.
With the heavy lid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I live in the heart of where they have their families. I have six creeks. They don't touch my compost. They're more interested in my bees and my bear-proof trash can. I have claw marks on my bear-proof trash can.
Yeah.
They want it more than the compost.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't touched my compost ever.
Interesting.
So what has your compost been like?
I have one similar to hers, two compartments, and it's all wood.
And a heavy lid.
I don't even have a lid.
I have no lid.
It's just open.
And they've never touched it. Never once.
I think there's yummier things around.
If they can smell like the apples.
But Joe, have they bothered your bees?
We have a 6-foot fence, barbed wire, bear boards, and solar electric fence on the inside. They have compromised the bear boards, blood stains on the bear boards, and they've tangled into the barbed wire, but they haven't gotten into the electric that Department of Wildlife gives you. They give you an electric grid to put around them. But they keep trying. So you have motion lights and everything. But they want the bees more than my compost. Or my trash can. They'll drag it like 16 feet full of trash, a bear-proof can that weighs a lot, and they'll drag it. And they'll try to open it with the key.
It almost blows my mind that they would do that because they like food.
And we have the babies and the families in our yard. So we're in a central area where they're populated, and they don't eat the compost.
My husband worked for a wildlife. Mm-hmm. He said once they find food at your place, never forget.
Yeah.
They will make their ground.
That's right. That's very true. That's why we need to be so much more careful with our garage. And bears are a problem, and that's why I was kind of trying to see if those of you who are really concerned about it could hear of a solution. Because I've never had a bear problem with all of my compost either. I have found that the deer like autumn leaves. I save like 13 bags of leaves a year at least, right? I had to make a corral for the leaves that has... And they would even bother it and get the... So I made the corral out of pellets, and the deer would eat the plastic bags. And
bear boards work in a lot of situations when you're trying to keep bears out of somewhere that can't be supervised otherwise.
Can you describe a bear board?
You put 3-inch nails on boards and put it around.
Oh.
And they don't want to deal with the homeless
person.
Yeah,
but it's on a ranch.
So, Ben, so it sounds like some of you guys have experience with bins. And at least two is nice. I've heard more to do three bins like next to each other. And that kind of composting needs air and moisture as well. And so that's why I think pallets were great because they already have the slats in them. And
great. And how about heat?
And how about which?
Heat.
Heat. It happens. The compost doesn't really happen, but if you make your compost the right way, the heat
happens.
So you
don't have to add any heat to it.
You don't have to add any heat to it. Because so this is the tricky one I was referring to, and you guys who compost probably have heard this too, green and brown. Mm-hmm. Green is nitrogenous items, and the brown is very carbonaceous. It does. Those are easy words for people to use, but not everything that is colored brown is brown. For instance, when you cut your grass, it's green, and if you let it dry somewhere in a pile or whatever, it gets to the color where it's no longer green, and it looks like it's brown, but it's not. Where did the nitrogen go? It didn't go anywhere. It's in that pile of grass. Grass is nitrogenous, and even when the grass has changed color and it looks like it's brown and dead, it's not so good. But leaves are great. Yes.
But I'd be worried about grass that has herbicides.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the things that we learned in the composting program is we were trying to encourage people, don't even collect your grass clippings. How stupid is that? Mm-hmm. It's got all kinds of nitrogen in it. Just cut it, mm-hmm. get the kind of lawnmower or the kind of blade to fit on your lawnmower, and they'll be right there. It doesn't. When you cut the grass clippings and leave them there on your lawn, it adds nitrogen right back, and it doesn't smother your grass. It really is a helpful thing. The dumbest thing that you can, that thing in terms of like, if you're out there and you collect your grass clippings, I'm sorry if I'm offensive, but it's really a better idea just to leave it there.
Grass doesn't grow that well here now.
That's right.
Here in Ohio, where, their grass is.
I know.
You would smother your lawn.
This one's obvious, but in terms of heat,
yeah.
We have found, put it on a sunny place. Mm-hmm. Don't put it in a place that it's partly shady,
sure.
In the winter particularly.
In the winter it can kind of be a problem, that's mm-hmm. true.
But if it's in a sunny place, mm-hmm. it cooks.
Uh-huh. And so, with the green and the brown, they say 50-50. Well, it's 50-50 really kind of almost by weight. So if you're using a lot of leaves, you need this many leaves for this much other stuff that you would be putting in there that's nitrogenous. I didn't come with any handouts for that, but the nitrogenous stuff is pretty much anything that's colored green. So if you have a lot of, if you have a garden,
yeah,
all of that green
stuff. I should tell you about what happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We live in a neighborhood, a new neighborhood that's built around a park, and they put a garden in part of it. So my son and I built a couple compost things with pallets and invited everyone in the neighborhood to put their yard or their kitchen stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, that's like 30 probably people putting kitchen stuff in.
Ooh.
And mm-hmm. it was a lot of stuff, and we didn't have leaves. And we had quite a few flies, and someone in the neighborhood assumed that the fly issue, which happens every year, was because of our compost, which it really wasn't. But I saw Trish, and she came over to take a look, and she was like, you need carbon. Nobody was putting carbon in. It was all
green stuff.
It was all green stuff. So we started like putting shredded paper, fireplace ash, and
maybe a little.
Yeah. And then I also went over to the lumber yard and dug up mm-hmm. some, you know, a little of their shavings from sure. the sawdust and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we have way more nitrogen than we do carbon, mm-hmm.
which
and
is why
it does not
the
look. Mm-hmm. It does not look like it's breaking down.
Uh-huh.
Still.
Yes, you said don't use the fireplace ash because the soils here are already alkaline, and and ash is alkaline, so it doesn't control them.
Yes.
What about the risk of spontaneous combustion? You just have this pile of grass. Can it get
too
hot?
That's a really good question. I think that pile has to be really big. When I lived up in Denver, there have been, you know, spring storms where all the trees get broken and they collect all of the stuff, and it's a huge pile, like the, you know, 10 feet tall, and they had to worry about spontaneous combustion. You suggested in your question grass clippings in a big pile. It's true. So what when you if you cut your grass and you collect all the clippings, what happens? It's hot inside.
Yeah.
And it will. It'll get even hotter than 140, but that's not making compost, what I call compost, because you need the nitrogen to, I mean the carbonaceous material as well. But the two of them kind of work together. I never had I think that there's also moisture that happens with a big pile like you're talking about, and I don't think it will catch on fire. Yes?
We used to take classes from the Pikes Peak Urban Gardener, and I encourage you to look him up, Larry Stebbins, ppug.org maybe, Pikes Peak Urban Gardener, and he encouraged compost tea, which once or twice a year we would do compost tea. You want to talk about that?
Compost tea. And was he talking about actively aerated compost tea? Yeah. I think that's really the super way to go, personally, once I learned about compost tea. So let's see. I will talk about it, but let's just talk a little bit. Let me finish the bin kind of thing.
Sorry.
So,
Manure.
And manure. You can put manure in there, too, but you need to. And manure is nitrogenous. So it's a real challenge to find the carbonaceous material.
If anyone needs manure, 210 Brookdale.
Yeah. I never had success with horse manure, though, because it had too many other things in it
That's true. I don't want those. The llama poop and the alpaca poop.
Well, that's why this friend of mine that owns alpaca is the one that, So I'll use her alpaca.
Sure.
A little bit of heat.
You can use manure. You're getting into a little bit iffier proposition if you introduce manure to it, because a lot of animals, with whatever they're eating and the poop that comes out, it's got a lot of weed seeds. That's one of the things that gets taken care of with Julie's when she gets it up to 140 degrees. Now we get way up to 140 degrees too, because the grains from the beer making is really super nitrogenous, so we have to work hard. That's why I save 13 to 15 bags of leaves a year. I think we're in competition for leaves.
I just now ordered my first probe on Amazon while we were taking the class.
Oh, huh?
$18.99. Anyway, should I be also watching, besides the temperature, because I'm not having good results, also the moisture content?
Yes.
Because I'm wondering, I think, cover or not cover on Google, it's 51 people say no, some say yes, and I'm trying to do a better job on my composting for a better quality now.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's a good quality. Yeah.
That's the biggest challenge I faced with my compost in Buena Vista is keeping it moist.
Yes.
Because it's so dry here.
Right.
So I keep cover mine with tarps.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps the chickens from getting in there and kicking it all out, too.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest
challenge. It needs some kind of a cover. The sun is so hot. And so you probably have to reintroduce some water into the system on a regular basis. Do you guys water your compost? We live in a desert. Okay. South Carolina, where I used to live, it's a whole lot different there. You have to fight in a different way. So bins, let's see. If you try introducing items that are 50-50 by weight, nitrogenous leaves to the green stuff that you get out of your garden. Kind of tricky. What I'll do is I kind of make a big pile of it. I have them here, so my bin is right where this lovely lady is sitting, and I've got the leaves here and all the other stuff from my garden that I've trimmed off the top of, and I want to put them together. You probably heard of layering. Let's layer knives, layer this and layer that. I found for myself, I kind of like to make it like a salad. I mix those two things together. I think one of the reasons that they suggest layering is so that you get your proportions about right. But if I'm looking at it and I have a big giant pile of leaves and a medium-sized pile of green stuff, I'll mix them together. But one of the things I do with all the green stuff, I don't worry too much about the leaves, except for if they're those big cottonwood leaves, then I smash them a little bit because the cuticle is really big. But any of the green stuff that I have, if you can damage the outside, you don't need to cut the things into small pieces, but if you can damage the cuticle, damage the outside of the green stuff that you're going to be putting in, then that lets the bacteria get into all of those places. So I have a piece of plywood. You can even just do it on the ground, but sometimes it makes it even messier on the ground. But I'll put the green stuff in a small amount on a piece of plywood, and I have one of those icebreaker things, you know, it's like a hoe, but it's straight. Just chop it up a little bit, or a flat-nosed shovel. Just hit them like about 15 or 20 times. You don't need to kill them. You don't need to make it small. Scoot that over and do all the green stuff so that it's the cuticle's been damaged. Then I mix it together with the leaves. Then when I'm putting it in, I water some, because one of the things that I had to really do with that bag of leaves was make sure that all the water gets mixed around. If you put water on the top, it's going to flow off to the sides. Mm-hmm. You want everything the same moisture inside. So I'm talking about making a pile all at one time. Mm-hmm. It's good if you can at least start that. One of the things about bin composting is that it needs to have a certain amount of volume for it to get going. She's got a lot of volume. We need to create some volume. And I think for myself, once I've started one and had a bunch of volume, then I can add to it a little bit more, a little bit at a time, and I do have success, but you really need to start with enough volume in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Freezing actually will break plant fibers down.
It will?
Where some of us live, we don't, yeah, that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah,
that's true.
Freezing. 3/4 of the year you get a
frost. You had a question.
Okay, so if you don't have a garden, per se, define green stuff.
Define mm-hmm. green stuff.
We've got lots of leaves.
I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
I need more leaves.
Pine needles don't work because of the pH, and they're also, you can put some in, but, and you were mentioning, Julie, that you put some wood chips in what you've got. Mm-hmm. So wood chips are actually carbonaceous.
That's green.
It's in the brown stuff. But, you can't put too much of them because they're kind of heavy and they're not small. So she's turning, she's paying attention to it, she's a professional. She can manage putting some wood chips in. And what else do you use?
Sawdust.
Sawdust, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can also use sawdust, but that's one that you can only put a certain
amount.
Okay,
so green.
Green. All the stuff that is left over from your kitchen, right?
That'll be a problem, so I'm trying to not do a whole lot of
stuff. Yeah. Well, see, that's it. You have a beer problem. And you might want to do these guys. So why do you want to compost?
Because I have a hell of a lot of leaves.
Can I have your phone number?
Yeah.
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 Right.
Yeah.
But
so
they're cottonwood, you said.
Yeah.
They are cottonwood.
Well, that's okay. And
yeah.
So you can break up cottonwoods. You can,
that's really good.
Yeah, you can even just
so
get your
kids. I've been
kids
putting
to
grass in there, but now I'm hearing grass is not the best thing.
Well, so what? Are you putting your own grass in there?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you put on your grass?
Oh, they do put some stuff on it.
Some stuff on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you know what? We're swimming in it. It's everywhere. The age of chemistry, you know, better living through chemistry
mm-hmm.
started a long time
yeah.
ago. And
Julie's
I'm not
taking
sure that it's
mm-hmm.
the best
mm-hmm.
thing. So if you're just putting fertilizer mm-hmm. on, that might not be so bad, but if you're putting pesticides on, and so then what would you want to do with the compost that you created?
Put it around yard waste.
Yeah,
there are things on my yard, trees and bushes and flowers and that kind of stuff.
I kind of would consider going ahead and doing it. I mean, that's definitely green. More grass clippings.
That's
are
what
green.
I've done. So I'm just wondering.
It's hard to say. You know, I'm not a scientist, and you'd have to like see how long it's going on, what did you put in, can we find the bad stuff, and you have to go through a laboratory and take a look at all that stuff and see what damage has been done. But if you're not eating something you grow in the ground that your compost has been put on, I think you'll be fine. Leaves, autumn leaves and grass clippings have been the gold standard for making really good compost for years and years and years. And then we started thinking about it. Well, we put this other stuff on our grass, that's probably not so good. Which is true, but if you're not going to put it on a garden where you're going to be eating the food, I think you're okay. So, but still, you need this many leaves. I do want to get, I want your phone number.
No problem.
This many leaves and a whole lot less grass clippings, right? And if you mix the two of them together, then you've got, you don't have to worry about the layering thing, and then you put it in, water some, put more in, water some, toss it a little bit.
It's, yeah, it's great.
Trisha, right?
Either way, Trisha. Trisha,
right. Do you live in BV or Salida?
Salida.
Okay, I'm texting you my address right now as well, because I have about 40 deciduous trees.
Okay, yeah.
So you can come get leaves whenever you want. Preferably in the fall, you can have all of them.
Just bring a drop.
We've had a leaf drop for a couple of years in the, at the Salida Community Garden. It's tricky to get people to just give you leaves.
Well, Julie will take them too. Yeah, so.
Yeah, right.
If you're concerned about bears and you, if you use the Bokashi method, will that discourage the bears because it's already started to?
Bears will eat anything.
I don't really.
They're not discriminate.
Mm-hmm. They're not very discriminate, and that's why kind of was I was looking for solutions.
They don't like tomato plants. I have evidence only just once. I think it was probably just before hibernation that they had rolled my EnviroCycle with somewhere else. Mm-hmm. They damaged. I think I could tell damage from the bird feeder from the
deer.
Fences around the raised beds,
yeah.
But they left, they didn't touch the tomato plants. I had just composted my, put my tomato plants in, and they didn't like them.
So what's the biggest problem about bears if the bears come? First of all, it's illegal. You can't, it's not okay to feed bears, not in the city, not in the state. So you really want to avoid it anyway, because they're going to keep coming back. And you know, you have to be in a place where the bears kind of live. There's been bears in my neighborhood, but they don't bother my compost, and I don't know maybe what that's about.
I don't even use kitchen scraps in my compost, which won't attract the bears. I use is autumn leaves, coffee grounds, and a little bit of chicken manure.
Coffee grounds are green. So what's green? I'll take your email too. I have a thing that I can email to you of what's the brown and what's the green. I just didn't bring that today because I didn't.
And I just go to a restaurant and get 5 gallon buckets. I just every day I switch out an empty bucket, and they love it because it's right under their coffee maker.
Yeah.
They don't have to haul it to the dumpster, which makes the bags heavy.
That's great.
It's really kind of a great system.
So you
no bears, no problem.
No bears. So you've saved leaves too then, huh?
Yeah.
You have a lot of
leaves. I went to a local motel here and got 100 bags of leaves.
Yeah.
And the deer do love to break
them. Oh, they do. They mess with them. That's great. I'm so happy to be in a room with so many people who just love this whole idea of composting. Because, why put this stuff in the landfill? And also it makes really good amendments for the soil that we have here. We import food from all kinds of places, and then we take the leftovers and put it in the landfill. That's good. So we get all this food from other places that's grown other places and bring it here, and we can use it to help our soil be better.
It's the easiest thing to recycle is our food waste, as far as getting it back into.
So just one thing, so when you have the bin like this, you do kind of have to figure out how you're going to turn it, because what's on the outside doesn't get done and what's on the inside is done. And so you really kind of want to turn it inside out. What I've done with that is, anybody know what a mattock is? Yeah, so if you have a mattock.
A mattock is like the thing to have.
It's a tool that has a handle and the piece of metal on the end is flat and narrow.
It's like and a so tick, but it's, instead of two points, it just has one point on one end and a flat piece on the other end. So it's sort of a combination of
it. It kind of looks like a pick on one end and the other one is flat. Okay. So when I'm turning, I don't turn like this. I don't go from the bottom and turn up. I use my mattock and I'll scrape what's on the top and maybe on the side and put them all over here. And it's so easy because you take the mattock and just let it go down like an axe, but you don't even have to put any energy into it. It digs right into the pile and then I pull it. So I'll put the stuff that doesn't look like it's finished over on one side and the things that have been a little bit processed at least over here. Make sure that it's got the right kind of moisture. If it doesn't, then when you're putting it back in, you add the moisture. So create it so that what's finished goes kind of on the outside because it's the insulator. And then what hasn't been finished yet that was on the outside needs a lot of water, kind of get it. Actually, what I do too is water. Put the water on after you put the stuff in the pile because then you don't have to be lifting and placing the water.
Uh-huh. Are we worried about the cold well water on the compost?
Nah. It's all those bugs procreating. Yeah. No, they're going to have a good time.
You know, if you're using a lot of leaves, I ended up, it was labor intensive to try to crush them up with your hand. And I went down to Harbor Freight real inexpensively and got a leaf shredder.
Yes.
Or you can use your lawnmower and spread on the lawn and use that, but they're going to break down better.
A leaf shredder, one of those guys that you put the leaves in on the top, What you can use like a 5-gallon bucket with a string trimmer, but that's then it kind of comes up and gets everywhere. I have a leaf shredder also. It was like $100, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's got legs on it so that the electrical part that has strings in it, like a string trimmer, is at about waist high. And you can put a bag to collect the shredded leaves underneath it. And then it's got a kind of a cone thing on the top. Put the leaves that are not yet shredded, especially the ones that are really have a hard cuticle in at the top and turn it on and it goes around and puts them in the bag on the bottom. It's really handy. Makes a mess, you gotta take a shower afterwards. But
wear a mask.
And wear a mask, definitely wear a mask. Wear a mask when you're turning your compost too. There's all kinds of stuff in there that you don't wanna be getting in your lungs. Other comments, I love it.
The other thing is beware of mice, and people have died of hantavirus here. We had hantavirus as far west as, past the drive, and one of our neighbors almost died, but they had a terrible situation with the compost.
Okay.
They were living in their walls.
Those guys can come and find a home too, and they make a little
My thought is they probably like living in leaves. So be
nice.
But if you're going to wear a mask,
So you have to turn the compost if you're keeping it in a bin, and you have to leave it there for a while. That's why we have maybe two or maybe three bins. I have had really good luck with just one commercial bin that I got a few years ago through Beth Lenz. The name of it is called the Earth Machine. It's shaped this way, so it's really easy to lift it up because it's bigger on the bottom and narrower on the top. It comes in two pieces. It's got, so it's probably 3.5 feet tall. It's got two pieces. The bottom half has, at the very bottom of it, has little flat parts on the outside that you can screw down to the ground, mostly for the WIND. We call that He Who Shall Not Be Named because you don't want to say it out loud. But, you know, things blow away because it's pretty damn windy here. But so it's got little, it's got screws that are about 4 or 6 inches long that have a big thumb handle on them, and it's easy to screw those things into the ground. And then the second half fits on top with little tabs. Sometimes a little tricky to put the top into the bottom, but not too bad. And it has a locking lid. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a bear problem, but I like it. It's pretty handy. So when I'm making my green and my brown piles together, I'll get that one going, and I'll maybe fill it about half full. And then I have my corral of leaves over here so they're protected so that the deer can't be in them. And then bring what I have from my kitchen or my garden and damage it a little bit so that the bacteria can start eating it. Mix those two things together and put it on top. And I'll do that a couple of different times, and I might have to leave it over the winter because it will freeze. It's like an ice cube because it's small. Okay, BFD, it's the way it is. It'll come back in the springtime. Now I'm going to be really busy with compost piles and things that I have going on because they've been sitting over the winter, but I add to them all winter long. It's still food for the bacteria that's going to want to come and eat it and return to us the wonderful product after they processed it. So what now? Oh, JC, where are you? What were you asking me about?
Compost tea.
Oh, compost tea. So it's pretty, it's kind of a scientific thing. I want to talk with you about who's doing compost tea around here. So if you have compost like Julie's got and you're going to spread it out like Alan and
Carson
have some property and they bought a lot of compost from Julie last year. How far does it go? It goes however far it goes, because you know, you might have a garden that's as big as this room and you purchased, you know, half a ton or something and you're trying that. It doesn't really seem to go very far. Compost, actively aerated compost tea, really is a great way to introduce a lot of microbes into an area that needs amelioration. And so, how does that work? You have to have a vessel that has liquid water and some compost in it. A lot of water, this much compost, and you have to aerate it somehow. I've done some of this at home, but I haven't had the great luck with it.
I've done it on a commercial scale where we probably had like a 300-gallon water tank, and we'd buy literally tea bags that are about 2 foot by 2 foot, fill those up with your compost or your bat guano or whatever you're trying to give to the plant.
Yeah.
And then we'd have a small air pump.
Yeah.
And that would just be 110 or on a solar panel. And we'd let that sit in the 300-gallon tank for a while and then apply it to what you want to apply it to.
And so what's happening? All of the good stuff that's in the compost, so it's not just water. You have to, sometimes you add a little extra, some people put maybe molasses.
Yeah, we added molasses.
Added molasses into the water because with the air and the molasses and the water, and you're mixing the stuff up.
And bears love that molasses. They open a brand new 5 gallon bucket. Yeah. I don't even know how they smell it.
How did they do it?
Yeah.
So all of that, all of the wonderful nutrients that are in the compost then are encouraged to grow. That's like, oh wow, this is an interesting environment because you're introducing air. We've got air, we've got liquid, and we've got food and all the bacteria. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's go. Let's go over here. Make some more babies. Let's get bigger. Let's increase the population. So all of those microbes, there's a whole lot more of them. And then you spray the compost tea onto whatever area you want to introduce it to, your front yard. Or your garden that you've got, it goes a lot farther because you're starting with a small amount of compost, but you increase the amount of the microbes that are in there because you've given them an environment that they like. And it only takes about 24 hours to do this, but it's a little tricky.
Is it the same that you get from your worms?
The worms, this is kind of like worm tea. I would, with this bin that we were looking at, I would, when I get home, I'll take the bottom one and introduce a bunch of water to it and shake it up and dump it by the apple tree.
So it's the same idea.
It's kind of the same idea, but it isn't the actively aerated. The aerated compost tea is its own whole really concept idea. And Eileen, what's her name?
Who?
Elaine Ingham is a professor up at University in Cork in Washington State,
And she's like, man, she's a PhD in soil science, man. That woman knows her stuff. And you can teach, she taught us all how to look at the different bugs that are in the compost tea. You can make compost tea and have it be bad compost tea. You can, you know, you can have an environment where all the negative bacteria that you don't really want are coming in. So it's a good idea, but it's very scientific, compost tea is. This is worm tea, and it's much less scientific, and it's not a big deal. But it's probably kind of concentrated. That's why I'll put a lot of water in it before I put it out in my garden. One thing to say, I'm so glad that your bin turning has worked. What do you put in there? Almost anything? Do you watch it and you water it when it starts getting dry? Because we live in the desert. And so before you're thinking that you're going to want to clear it out, you have to stop putting in new stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Because... this is the one that I have a real hard time getting through my husband's head. It's like, oh yeah, I took that out and I put it in that one pile and had it over there on the left. It's like, don't do that, that pile was done.
My husband too.
That's why you have at least two bins, maybe three bins, to let it sit, because it does have to sit. And people always ask, you know, how long does it take? It takes a while, I don't know, 3 to 5 months, or kind of depends on the weather and depends on how successful I was in building the pile in the first place. So that's why it's kind of hard to answer how long does it take.
So I put little numbers on my bins. I just have pallets, you know, and I've got like 5 bins. Mm-hmm. So I just got like little numbers that you put on your house for your address. And I put numbers on the bins. And then I can tell my husband, go out and put it in bin number 3.
I'm going to use that.
That's been training my tools.
Well, I wish you all a lot of success with your composting, however it is. And it's, I'm not trying to say I have all the answers, but I can help you, perhaps, if you're having some challenges. And, you know, one thing, too, you kind of know you're on the right... You're doing a good job and you're getting it done right if you smell it and it smells good. If there's something that's going on that's stinky, there's a problem, and it's usually not enough air or a mix that's not right.
Yeah, I can tell mine is too much nitrogen because, you know, we can't grow, we don't have trees.
Yeah, you need to be friendly with these people that have all the leaves because it's really important. And so, round things, technically, so what's the difference between hay and straw? Hay is food. Hay is green. That's why we feed it to these animals. It's got all of the good stuff on the plant that was grown. Straw is completely different. They've taken off the top of the really good stuff, and it's also a little different of a plant, but it has a really hard cuticle. You can use straw, but you really kind of need to beat it up. It's a brown product if you have a hard time and you don't have a lot of leaves, but it's kind of like the wood chips and the sawdust and the and straw are all sort of like, it's good to have all of them. They're not bad, but you've got to be prepared to address what the qualities are of the item you're introducing. And straw has a really hard cuticle. That's why it lasts for so long. You guys are already all composting.
Thank you. I have two more comments. Just because horse manure was brought up. So this is from ppugardens.org. So Pikes Peak Urban Gardens. And they're a lower altitude than us, but there's still some good rules of thumb.
Sure.
If horse manure is available to use it, but add it in the fall or very early spring, it needs to cool down. Fresh manure will burn seedlings like you were all talking about. But this was interesting. The rule of thumb is to use manures from animals with more than one stomach, thus the alpacas.
That's right.
So cows, bison, alpaca, lungs. The more stomachs, the more plant matter gets warmed and digested. So that's a good rule of thumb.
That's a really good rule.
Never use manures from animals that eat meat, such as humans. Then, so Thomas, do you remember what we did for our compost tea?
I thought we used those rabbit pellets.
Rabbit pellets.
Yeah.
And water, and it sat for 2 weeks, and then that was, we generally water our compost, but this is nutritious water.
That's right.
But then this was another one, this I just got from PPU Gardens.
Yeah.
Manure tea.
Yes.
So again, my horse friends. Another idea, a third full of cow or horse manure, then add the rest to your bucket of water.
Yeah.
Let it sit for a minimum 2 weeks. Okay. Then that water, dilute it 50-50, just pour off that water, add that much more water, and now you've got a very nice, rich tea to water your plants, kind of like you were describing. But that's a nice backyard method for small amounts.
A good way to strain it?
Yeah.
Dunny sack.
Oh, good.
Right.
Yeah. Jacy, can I make a green announcement?
Yes.
Sort of speaking of bamboo. So a couple weeks ago, we shared around an article about toilet paper and how the companies were really raping the rainforest.
Yeah.
Procter & Gamble and a number of... So there's actually a... Yeah, Charmaine. There's actually a good chart that I would share if anybody wants it. But I pulled it up at the grocery store the other day. I was like, where's that chart?
Yes.
And at our city market, they have green forest. Which I took home, and I have a very reluctant husband. And I have proven the test that green forest, it's still 2-ply, and it's on the A-list,
good.
And it's good, and it's not rough.
And what we found from the chart that you shared is the softer the tissue, the more they're using virgin forest products.
Yeah.
So Charmin.
So,
Charmin's bad.
That was the sad news, but thank you.
Even some of the 365 stuff
green
from Whole Foods
forest
is bad.
Forest.
Kirkland is the worst. Small.
Yeah, and
Quilted Northern.
It's
bad.
Confusing though because there was a 364 product, one that was in the A and one that was in the
there's
T minus.
There's sustainably soft is bad. So
it's
Cottonelle.
Bad. So they're misinforming.
Cottonelle, Kirkland, Angel Soft, Quilted Northern, Charmin, all the soft ones are in the bad.
So who made that list? Where can we see that?
NRDC. Yeah,
and
if you
we'll put
that
list
out.
At chafeygreen.org.
NRDC. They did a bunch of testing, and it's Procter & Gamble is one of the worst rapers of the rainforest.
Yeah. We can make a big difference in the whole global
every
world.
Every day.
Yes. Seventh Generation and Trader Joe's are also on the good list.
Another initiative we're trying to get started is, now we've talked today about composting, you know, recycling food. That's so imperative. We are all, you know, trying to get our heads around what we can recycle at the Angel of Chavano. Another big filler of the landfill is fabrics, clothing, old clothing.
Yeah.
So we are in discussion with a fiber company who will take the cloth and either recycle it or bring it to third world countries and old clothing. So keep an eye.
Newbies.
Watch out for that.
Yeah.
But there's things that newbies can't take
that
are soiled or ruined. But what do you do with that cloth? Landfill. No, we have some alternatives for that. So keep an
If anybody needs toilets, we have some at the church we're trying to keep out of the landfill.
Thank you.
Nobody wants them.
Toilets. You mean future planters.
But whatever. They were good working. We just replaced them.
Oh, good.
So they're sitting by the dumpster.
Restore.
They won't take them.
Oh, okay.
Well,
they won't take them
anymore. I've shredded up. Like rags that were made of organic fabrics.
Yes.
Actually, even had put a deer who died. Of course, you know, it composted in 6 months. But yeah, that was killed by probably a coyote. But if you kind of just shred up cotton and other organic fabrics, they'll compost.
Yeah. So we're all being mindful. I'm so grateful this thing wouldn't have occurred without Trish and Donna. And Julie,
and you,
Katie,
thank you,
and especially you, because if you weren't here, we'd have no one to share this exciting news with. So get on a reel and let's get involved. Thank you all.
Here's
a gift for you. Thank you.
Does anybody else need Master Gardener hours besides? No. Okay. I